Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Chad gets this one.
Oh, yeah, man.
As a child of the 80s. You know.
Culture Club.
You know this.
Oh, of course I do.
And you know this is how we kick off our Fridays, even when Stink isn't here. And Chad Brown is filling in. It's tradition. So happy Friday, everybody. Happy Halloween weekend, everybody.
That's right. My kids are so old. I've lost track of that holiday.
All right, don't talk over this.
Okay, sorry. All right.
And with that, we are off and rolling. It's Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest, heading off into this Halloween weekend, so whatever you want to weigh in on, whatever. It can be good, bad, positive, negative, critique, praise, whatever. Just give it to us in the form of, is it just me? And hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We say good morning to Chad Brown. How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic.
Haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a long time since I've been in the studio.
Yes.
I've been on the show a number of times, but now I get to stare at you through a thin piece of plexiglass.
It's impenetrable.
Okay.
This thing is like this is, you know, Fortress of Solitude, force field type stuff.
Or
nothing's getting through here.
Or it could just be another one of those things in the studio that apparently never gets cleaned, like so many other things in the studio.
I know. I'm curious because I don't think people have been like, other than Mark and I touching it on the first day, I don't think anybody else has touched it, and yet it's starting to look like my windows at home. You know when the sun, is it just me or is that part of the day when the sun's coming in through your windows a certain way and you're like looking out the windows going, oh my God.
Yeah.
Those things need to be washed.
Not only is my screen dirty, but my window's dirty. And probably there's a film of dust all over my entire house.
Exactly. And then an hour later, the sun shifts. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. We're back.
It looks fine. So I was getting a little worried. You waited right until the last minute to pull in here, and I said, aren't you from the old football way of thinking that if you're on time, you're late? If you're 5 minutes early, you're on time? Isn't that the way you guys operate?
That whole Tom Coughlin thing is ridiculous.
Oh, is that?
It is ridiculous. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. The time is the time. You got to add and subtract time to fit your time. Now, when I was at CU, we had Coach McCartney, and two or three times a week, he would be in the front of the meeting room at the podium, and he would do that thing where, you know, a man kind of pulls his watch up and looks at it, and he would say, okay, Mac time says 2:07. So everyone set their watches to Mac time. So there was no 5 minutes early, all that other stuff. It was just Mac time. One time, I did two Pro Bowls with Tom Coughlin. The Pro Bowl is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
It's a reward for having one of the best seasons of any player at your position in the NFL. It's supposed to be a blast. Tom Coughlin was pulling that crap at the Pro Bowl.
No way.
I played in three Pro Bowls. Tom Coughlin coached two of them. He managed to make the Pro Bowl unfun. And one of my favorite stories from that time is Tom had practice scheduled, but because some players screwed up some drills during practice, he wanted to do a period over again at the Pro Bowl. Junior Seau keeps yelling, I got a tee time. And Tom's, you know, turning his back now listening to him. Junior's playing defense. He intercepts a pass from whoever is on the offense and takes off and starts running. He runs to the end zone and keeps running to the locker room and yells, I got a tee time! And left practice.
Wow.
So I thought
Bo Jackson had the greatest runoff, but that might have been.
That was Tom Coughlin getting what Tom Coughlin deserved at the Pro Bowl.
Nobody like went up to him and go, yo, Tom, it's the Pro Bowl.
I think I think those kind of guys did. You know, Junior, Derek Seau, Derek Thomas, those guys who were there every single year. Yeah, they had to say something because this was my second year and I was upset this was happening.
Right.
This is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be so relaxed and so chill. and we got somebody who's telling us to be 5 minutes early to meetings at the Pro Bowl.
Wow.
I got to leave the pool bar 5 minutes early meeting?
Come on.
You got a rookie paying for my drinks over there.
Exactly.
Come on.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Tom Coughlin making you be 5 minutes early. And did he make you, like, sit straight up, feet on the ground type thing?
He expected every Tom Coughlin rule to be enforced and followed at the Pro Bowl.
This is when he was coaching Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
So were some of the players there, like a Baselli, where they just kind of roll in their eyes?
Yeah, guys, you know, it's not that bad. And we're like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, actually, in year 14, before I played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Giants flew me out and wanted me to play linebacker for them. And it was going great. And I sat down with Tom Coughlin. And I thought, I've got to find another choice if I want to keep playing this year. This is not going to be fun.
This isn't going to work. Huh? So then you went to play for Belichick instead, right?
I went to play for Belichick.
So Belichick was easier than Coughlin?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Things Bill did made sense. Meetings started when meetings started. Should you be early? Of course you should. But there was no demand that you be 5 minutes early. The meeting started when the now both those guys are Bill Parcells guys.
Yeah.
And so they both have a certain level of strictness and discipline to them, but it plays out in different ways. Bill's worried about football. Tom was worried about all these other things. And I think Tom's military background came into a play.
Right.
Whereas Bill's got a military appreciation. You know, Bill's dad coached at Navy, but he himself doesn't have a military.
What was Cowher like?
Cowher was pretty chill. Cowher didn't care what you wore at practice. I don't know if you remember a tight end named Eric Green.
Yeah.
285-pound, 290-pound tight end. A massive backside. Sometimes he would wear red tights.
Oh, God.
And red's not one of the Steeler colors.
Right.
So this massive backside jiggling up and down the field in red tights. Sometimes Bill would just shake his head, but, you know, as long as you showed up and played and played hard, you played Steeler football, Bill didn't care.
Yeah. You know what? That's really the way it should be.
I think so.
Just here are the rules. They're simple rules. There aren't many of them.
Yep.
Just stick to them and it'll be fine. And if you don't, then, you know, then we'll have a problem. But, yeah, you're right. The ones that were, I sometimes get a kick out of the motivation. Like Dan Quinn after the Super Bowl, after the Falcons lost the Super Bowl. What he had all the clocks just said now.
Yeah.
Right? The time is now. Well, what time is it? Now.
Well, it's now time as Dan Quinn's on his couch at home.
That's right. That's right. Just staring at his clock going, I wonder when my next time is. All right. We are off and rolling. We'll get to some Is It Just Me's and sobering, almost depressing news delivered by Vic Fangio yesterday. We'll explain next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
It is It Just Me Friday with Chad Brown sitting in. Got the morning brew at 6:30. Lisa Lamiel joins at 6:45. So is it just me? It was bad enough that the Broncos now have to deal with the boogeyman, Patrick Mahomes, for the next 15 years. But then Vic Fangio dropped this on us yesterday, talking about Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert.
Well, I think it's been a good job both by him and their coaches. He's been under center a good bit, so I've adjusted to that very, very well. And that's kudos to him, you know, especially with no off season and a shortened training camp. And, you know, he looks very comfortable under center. Kudos to their coaches for, you know, putting in some of the stuff that he ran in college, felt comfortable with, and had success with. So I think they both sides of that coin there need the credit. But ultimately, this guy is just very talented. It looks to me like he's made up of the right stuff to be a quarterback in the NFL. And fortunate for them and unfortunate for us, I think they found their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
Whoa! Whoa, Wait a minute.
Wait. Is it just me Friday?
Yeah, is it just me?
So is Vic allowed to say what he thinks? Is it just him? Or can he recognize that Justin Herbert is pretty darn good?
He can say it. But that's quite a statement. I mean, how many quarterbacks right now can you say for sure this team has found their guy for the next 10, 15 years?
Kansas City Chiefs
have.
Yep.
Showtime.
Yeah, outside of that and Justin Herbert, I know it's a small sample size.
Well, first of all, do you agree that Justin is? Do you agree with Vic Fangio?
He's legit. Now, being part of the Pac-12 network,
yeah.
I called a number of Oregon games over the years.
Yep.
And Justin Herbert is legitimately a big, strong, fantastic athlete, very talented, arm-talented quarterback who's extremely bright. Biology major, like a 4.0 student. Fantastic, almost photographic memory. And he would make some throws at Oregon that were literally the best throws I would see all weekend on a Saturday or a Sunday. Now, he had some parts of his game that need some polish, and he would have 4 to 5 plays a game that were head-scratchers. But what Anthony Lynn and his offensive staff have done is found a way to get Justin Herbert to remove those 4 or 5 plays a game and to accentuate the things that he does well. Coming out of college, because I know the comparison is always going to be, at least on this station, if we're talking about Justin Herbert, well, how come you aren't saying the same things about Drew Locke? Coming out of college, Justin Herbert was a far more polished quarterback. Technique, mechanics, footwork, progressions, reads. So it's no mystery to me he's able to bring that with him to the NFL, whereas Drew Locke didn't come out of college armed with those skill sets and still hasn't quite learned them yet, nor been in a position where he's able to learn them at a pace that's digestible.
How much continuity did Herbert have from a head coach, offensive coordinator standpoint? Because much has been made about how Locke has had 6 different coordinators the last 6 years.
That's
4
tricky.
Different ones in college. Do you recall what kind of continuity there existed for Herbert?
Let me see. Mario Cristobal, this will be year 4 for him. So maybe he had a year with Willie Taggart. Maybe Justin Herbert had a year with Willie Taggart, who was only there 1 year before Cristobal came in. I think Cristobal may have kept the OC from Willie Taggart. He may have. So if there was turnover, it wasn't every single year.
Right.
Yeah. And Oregon has had a good offensive line, maybe one of the best offensive line groups in the Pac-12 for the last 3 or 4 years as well. So
yeah. Good running game.
Good running game.
Freeman.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're certainly a talented team. They've had, a good tight end. They've had good backs. They've had good receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been weapons at his disposal. So, yeah, I suppose the ability for Justin Herbert to come out of college more polished than Drew Locke speaks not only to the player, but also to the state of the program that they came out of and where those programs were.
So just like Mahomes figured it out and hasn't shown any signs of slowing down, you think that's the same with Herbert? You don't think there's going to be any kind of an adjustment period here where the league counters and he maybe struggles for a while until he adjusts and learns back? Or is this guy just already got it?
Of course, as a young quarterback, you're going to come across some defense that's going to give you some struggles. You're going to see some things that you haven't seen before. But when you have mastered the basics of mechanics and footwork and going through your progressions, then you can work through those. But when you're struggling with those as well as trying to get on the same page with your coordinator, as well as defensive coordinators showing you things you've never seen before, well, that's just too much to process for anybody to handle. But I've got the basics down. And as we've been saying about Drew Locke, he's too busy trying to be great while he should be focusing on being good. Justin Herbert already had the good part buckled down. He already understood how important all those basics are.
All right, so can you get Locke to that point?
Can you get locked up? I would certainly hope so, but it's difficult to improve yourself as a player during the season. You can improve your understanding. You can improve your timing. But that time to really do 100 dropbacks with the proper footwork, you know, having a coach run at you with one of those pads and throw them in your face and you still step forward and throw the pass off your front foot, not your back foot. That doesn't happen during the season. The best players are made in the offseason. To use the Muhammad Ali quote, I wasn't champ because what I did in the ring is because I became a champ because what I did when no one was watching. That's the kind of work that Drew Locke needs to have.
So not having an offseason.
Kills him.
Killed him.
Absolutely. And when you are flawed in when your progression as a player and you lean upon your own misunderstandings to get better, Tim Tebow-esque, you work really hard, but did you actually get better? Did you improve your mechanics? Did you actually, you know, get the best out of yourself, or did you just sweat? We can get anybody to sweat.
Right.
The whole point is to improve and get better.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Tim.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Gotta feel this shirt. Okay. Well, then, do you think the Broncos understand that and factor that in when they're looking at Locke's development and upside? The idea that he didn't have an offseason. So does that buy him more grace with the Broncos, with the understanding that, hey, if we gave this guy a full offseason, assuming things are normal next offseason.
I mean, it's early in this season. Hopefully we'll see some progress, but.
Probably better.
Yeah. I'm going to say there will be voices in the Broncos personnel rooms that are saying just that. And there'll be other voices that'll be saying,
we got to move on.
We've seen enough.
Okay. Our injury report presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Phillip Lindsay with a concussion is questionable against the Chargers. They should make a decision tomorrow. Tim Patrick with a hamstring, also questionable for Sunday. Our injury report presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. What does Pat Shurmur have in store for Drew Locke this weekend? Morning Brew coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
It's going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Maybe get one or two or maybe even three, at the most, four unscouted looks that you don't see by watching tape. You know, every team holds something back, you know. But, you know, you give that simulation in practice. And, you know, with those types of throws, you know, we just don't make up plays on Sunday that we haven't practiced during the week.
Huge week for Drew Locke and Pat Shurmur. Both of them are starting to really climb onto that hot seat. Definitely under the spotlight. Chad Brown in for Stink. So what do you expect different, if anything, from the offense that Pat Shurmur dials up on Sunday?
This is going to sound a little weird. I think some of the plays will be less focused on winning. I think they've gotten to the trap, maybe even last week against the Chiefs, of trying to outdo Patrick Mahomes and outdo the Chiefs. Well, you've got to get Drew Locke just on a page of comfortableness and executing the offense at a high level, going through his progressions properly, throwing the ball where it needs to go, taking what the defense gives him. Again, I'll use that same phrase. You're too busy trying to be great when you didn't focus enough on being good. And so I think you have to take the step back. And I've been on teams where the play caller is forced to do that, particularly on a defensive side. They get all excited during training camp. They install 27 different defenses and 95 different blitzes. You go out in the first couple of weeks and it's clear, no one knows what we're doing, coach. So they go, okay, we're going to simplify things. We're going to go into this game with four coverages and five blitzes, and we're going to run them perfectly. Because then you can build off of that.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Ball just shy of the 5-yard line. Lawrence going to look left side, throw it into the end zone, and that is caught. Touchdown, Cornell Powell.
Clemson Radio. Well, when it comes to college football and the coronavirus, we now have a face for it. Trevor Lawrence, as big a face as there is in college football, has tested positive. He has mild symptoms, according to Lawrence, and he will have to go into quarantine for 10 days. Now, the big question is, will he be ready for Clemson's game against Notre Dame on November 7th? Don't know.
because there is a protocol you have to follow, including even after you are cleared to play, you got to come back, you got to pass some heart tests and things like that. You've had a chance, Chad, to work some college football games. Just being around teams and talking to coaches, how much of an obstacle, how much of a challenge has dealing with all of this been for these teams?
I think we've seen it affect, Nick Saban.
Yep.
Got COVID. So it's
tough. But the way that the teams still are able to go out and prepare and play and, I mean, atmosphere, all that stuff. I mean, you've been in these stadiums. You've been around these teams. I'm just kind of curious to get your view on it.
I think the best programs, just like certain businesses in this crazy year, have found a way to get better. Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and the other programs are struggling on how to deal with this. And you see that show up on the field when a top five North Carolina team gets upset by a awful Florida State team. I think this COVID has been a leveler in so many ways. Some guys opting out. Some guys not sure if they're going to return, when they're going to return. Coaches getting sick and then being quarantined. It's just so much chaos that these lower echelon teams or lower level teams haven't been able to deal with it very well. So for Clemson, I have to imagine Dabo Swinney has a plan in place and for any player who could possibly get COVID.
How's the caliber of football been?
Entertaining, but not very good. I mean, I called the Red River Showdown. Oklahoma at Texas this year.
Yeah.
Went to four overtimes.
Yeah.
It was a heck of an entertaining game, but there was not a lot of great football out there. Most of the wounds were self-inflicted. You know, at the end of the game, I don't think either team had any toes left because they shot themselves in the foot so many times during the course of the ball game. So that's what we're seeing from most of these teams. Again, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, they're doing what they do because they are just so talented. They've got so much money. They've got so much infrastructure in place. The other teams are just struggling some weeks to put the required number of players on the field.
Next on the Morning Brew.
The offensive line is doing a great job for us. TG in the backfield doing a great job. Matt Ryan's doing a good job for us. So, like, and we got guys to make plays on the outside. We have to score touchdowns. Not depending on who we playing, just for our sake, who we are as a unit, we got to score touchdowns.
Julio Jones with a big game last night for the Atlanta Falcons, and I'll bring Is It Just Me into the Morning Brew. Is it just me, or I was looking at the Broncos-Atlanta game next week as kind of a almost a layup type. Well, not that anybody can be a layup. The Broncos shouldn't look at anybody as a layup. But you know what I mean? It's definitely a really, really winnable game. But then I watched the Falcons play last night. It looked pretty good. Looked pretty good in beating the Panthers.
I was with you. I looked at the schedule. I thought, okay, this, you know, could be, we'll see what happens here with the Chargers against Justin Herbert, but at least they can get some footing against the Falcons. And hey, Raheem Morris becomes the head coach. He's now 2-1 with the Falcons after they were winless under Dan Quinn. And the talent on that team is beginning to emerge. Julio Jones is still a top-flight wide receiver. Matt Ryan is still a, you know, top seven, top five type quarterback. They still got some things to fix defensively, but they are a talented team that clearly wasn't playing up to their level, and now they're beginning to do that at just the wrong time for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, you look at their record, they're 2-6, and with the crazy, crazy losses that they've had, where what? They had three losses already this season where at some point in the fourth quarter they had a 98% probability of winning.
They should have won last week against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
So Raheem Morris should be 3-0.
Yeah, they easily could be 5-3, 6-2 instead of 2-6. Ah. Well, so much for being a easy game next week. Next on the Morning Brew.
Two dudes. Ultimate dudes.
So, Steve Adazio at his debut for Colorado State did not go well. Started off well. They had the lead early on, but they ended up getting blown out by Fresno State 38-17. As a former CU Buff, does that break your heart? See the Rammies?
I always want
get beat like that.
The Colorado team to do well. Except when they play the Buffs. That's my only exception. I'm a Ram fan. Been here in the state since 88. Can't help it.
So you'd like the Rams to do well?
Yes.
As long as it's not against the Buffs, but as soon as that game's over, you wish,
I wish
nothing but the best for the Rams.
And Air Force as well.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one last year. That had to sting a little bit.
Well, you know, I watched it. I predicted. I called the game for the Pac-12 Network. I kept saying, I know the Rams want to dazzle. I mean, not the Rams. The Falcons want to dazzle you with all this option stuff, but they're going to beat you by throwing the ball. And it was three big pass plays and ended up beating the Buffs in that ball game.
By the way, how do you feel about your Buffs this year?
I think it is just simply such an unknown.
Who knows, right?
The entire Pac-12 jumping in so late.
Yeah.
You know, so much time for these kids to be off from football. I think it's going to be a rough couple of weeks to start the season for everybody. Carl Durrell, first year head coach, no off season, very little training camp. You know, the team's trying to figure out, you know, where do we sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put them up at a hotel. So it's just been strange.
At least everybody, though, in the Pac-12 is in the same boat. So it's
still, but it's
equal.
There's so much unknown about it. I think Oregon and USC are the best teams in the Pac-12, and they'll lead the North and the South divisions. But outside of that, I don't know what the heck is going to happen in the Pac-12 at all. I don't think anyone knows.
So they open up next Saturday against UCLA.
Correct.
All right. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, Cecil Lammy with his hot takes on what to expect from Drew Lock versus Justin Herbert. That's next. Halloween weekend. This is from The Exorcist.
Scare.
I got to bounce a question. Actually, I'll bring Cecil Lammy into this conversation as well. Cecil Lammy joins us. Good morning, Cecil. Happy Halloween.
Good morning.
All right, so my kids, we're having this discussion. At what age is it suitable to sit down and watch, like, the true horror flicks with your kids? Like, you know, The Ring or, you know, The Exorcist or, you know, the really hardcore horror movies. What age should your kids be?
At least teenagers. I mean, it really depends on them.
Yeah.
But anything younger than that. I had a buddy of mine who's like, was watching Constantine with his like 5-year-old son, and then it was wondered like, why is that nightmares the other night? I don't know what's going on. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. He's watching Constantine. So, and by the way, like I, you know, I don't really get into scary movies, but stuff like The Exorcist, I'll never watch it. Never. I've seen enough. I've seen it, obviously, but like, it's one of those things like, yeah, I don't get down on that type of, the horror movie. You know, devil movies do not sit well with me. So yeah, no.
Yeah, the whole possession
stuff.
That's
a big no on The Exorcist.
Yeah. The whole possession mm-hmm. stuff. Give me Freddy Krueger all the time. But that possession stuff always kind of freaks me out. All right. Justin Herbert, did you in your evaluation for the draft think that this was possible for Justin Herbert to come out and be so good, so fast that Vic Fangio's coming out yesterday and saying, I think the Chargers have their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I sure wish somebody would have asked him, do you have yours, coach?
Left unsaid.
His answer would have been very interesting either way. The short answer is no. I mean, not this quick with Justin Herbert. Was he always a top 10 talent? Sure. You guys may remember when I learned down at the Shrine game, but hey, Justin Herbert was in consideration for the number one pick. The Dolphins were considering Justin Herbert. Like, Herbert's legit. And down at the Senior Bowl where he was, you know, I picked up that intel and I reported it. I remember D-Mac and Tyler like lost their mind. Like, there's no way that Justin Herbert could be in consideration for number one. I'm like, well, it's still going to be Joe Burrow, but just know that Herbert is thought of that highly within the scouting community. And that was a consideration. And at the Senior Bowl, he was the best quarterback there. You know, Jordan Love was there. You know, so we look at that and go, okay, another first round quarterback. But with Herbert, it was, man, he is so robotic and he has a different type of personality. Some people use that as a knock against him. Some scouts would be, oh, well, you know, he's not really a rah-rah guy. He's not like, he doesn't like hang out with people. He usually just hangs out like with his family, with his brothers and stuff. So, you know, people thought, well, he's kind of calm. And really you see that coming up and showing up on the film. The best thing about Justin Herbert, it's not his athleticism. It's not his big arm. It's the fact that he's just so damn calm. And it's not, I don't think it's the ice in his veins. I think he just doesn't feel the pressure. And that helps him. It's like a young Joe Flacco, and that's not an insult whatsoever. Young Joe Flacco coming out of Delaware didn't feel any sort of pressure. He didn't his whole career. He won a Super Bowl. So with Justin Herbert, you get athleticism, you get that big arm. You don't get that rah-rah leader, but you get a guy that doesn't get rattled. I mean, let's put it this way. And Chad and Mike, I know you guys will back me up on this. He may have the best performance against the Buccaneers defense this entire season. And the Bucs defense, as we well know, is quite legit. So going toe-to-toe with those other quarterbacks, toe-to-toe with Mahomes. He didn't even know he was going to play. Went toe-to-toe with Mahomes, toe-to-toe with Drew Brees, toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. Now, he's not winning those games, but that's coming for this team. And it's largely due to the fact that the kid just doesn't feel pressure.
All right, Cecil, let's go back to Justin Herbert and Drew Lock when they came out of college. And it's been my contention that, you know, Justin Herbert arrived in the NFL a far more polished and finished product from a mechanics, footwork, progressions, all that standpoint. So Mike and I discussed Justin Herbert coming out of college, what I saw by doing games in the Pac-12, what I saw from him at the University of Oregon. Tell us about Drew Lock when he came out of college and the scouting report then as far as him being a finished quarterback product.
Yeah, and it's mechanically. I mean, and it's stuff that we're still talking about today. When I talked to Drew Lock at the Senior Bowl, I talked to him about his footwork. When I talked to him as a rookie with the Broncos, talked to him about his footwork. He's meeting with Kurt Warner. You know, he's calling Kurt Warner a lot, and they're talking about his footwork. You heard yesterday Pat Shurmur, you know, hey, what's going on with Lock? Well, it starts with the feet. Everybody knows this. Drew knows this. I've talked to Drew's dad about that, you know, about his footwork and the work that he's been doing. Like, dude, we got to see the results. We've got to see the actual results on the field, because the lip service of, oh, footwork, and people may think, oh, well, you know, what does that mean? What does that do? That's just nerdy football stuff. Like, no. It's accuracy. It's timing. It's throwing with anticipation. Watch Justin Herbert throw, and you see that weight transfer. Beautiful, beautiful throws. And he's throwing dimes quite a bit. And Lock will get there. Lock has, like, a throw a game, maybe. The best throw that he had all season long was dropped by Deshaun Hamilton. Stop throwing to Nick Vinette and Deshaun Hamilton, for the love of God. But, I mean, that on that play down those sidelines, you saw him weight transfer, proper footwork, throw with anticipation and touch, and it looked good. He's not just firing rockets out there. But here's the thing, and Chad, you know this very well, and Mike, you do too. When a young quarterback has that big arm, it's always going to be a crutch. It's almost better if they don't, so that they learn how to actually read a defense, you know, go through progressions. Right now, Drew Lock, from a mechanical standpoint, is still very sour. He was when he came out of college. And then you talk about reading a defense. Like, okay, is he making up his mind before the snap? And that's not isolated and eliminating like the best quarterbacks do before the snap. They'll isolate, they'll eliminate, they'll know what to do. It seems like Lock, at times, will make up his mind before the snap and then not look off the defense. You know, maybe he's making that right decision, but he's not going, okay, now I need to look this way so then I can look back and throw that way. So he's making half-field reads. He's basically a pure sight thrower. Stink always talks about that, meaning that if a guy's not open, if a guy hasn't made his break, he's not throwing it yet. He's got to wait for a guy to make his break for him to throw it. He's got to throw it before the guy makes his break. He's got to throw with anticipation. There's a lot of work to do, and one thing I'm writing for 104throughthefan.com is the chances of Drew Lock working out are incredibly low based on what we've seen. Still can believe, still have hope, still love the kid, but he's got so much work to do, and from what he's shown this season, it's looked like he's regressed.
Okay. All right. Well, he also didn't have an off season. That in talking to Chad here is crucial. I mean, that greatly impacted his ability to really work on all those things that you're talking about, footwork and mechanics. So,
He's going to have to try to make it up during the course of a season, which is difficult to do. Cecil, you'll be on with Nick Ferguson, 10:30 to noon on Sunday, up until myself and D-Mac take over at noon up until kickoff. So we'll see you on Sunday.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
There goes Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
It is an Is It Just Me Friday. Some good Is It Just Me's rolling in. We'll get to those. And while Mark Schlereth is not here with us in body, he is with us in spirit, and he will provide his keys to victory coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.